Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
All right, get used to hearing this music. Starting January 1st, 10 p.m., weeknights, on Antenna TV, our classic TV sister station network. Full episodes of Carson. Johnny is back, the king of late night. Are you excited about that, Shawnee?
Yes, indeed I am. And once again,
the correct answer is, how excited are you, Shawnee?
I am more excited about that than I was reading about the gusty winds we're going to have tomorrow.
Well, that seems hard to
tomorrow
believe.
Afternoon.
That seems nearly impossible.
And I'll tell you why. Because, once again, I said it before, your Here's Johnny, a half-hour special, which will be aired at 4:30 on New Year's Day,
the way I wrote it
if
for
people,
you.
That's because I was writing it down when you said it.
You read that almost as if you were meant it.
But no, if anyone hasn't seen it, you should see it because it's a great introduction. It really is to this antenna.
We went to Johnny's old studio in Burbank. You know, you get to look at what it looks like now. We talked with Doc Severinsen. We talked with Jay Leno. We talked with Bob Newhart. People who actually experienced Johnny Carson and got a little bit of insight, as much as you can, in a half an hour special.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it all together, and it's been running. I just got a email from somebody from St. Louis. One of our Tribune Media stations, one of our stations in our company, they're running this special all over the country. So, Shawnee, I am a nationwide personality now.
Oh, I knew that.
I'm a nationwide television personality.
There are
so many. It's like 2 in the morning. It's when they couldn't sell it to Vegematic, they threw on my special
Dean's
instead.
Dean's infomercial.
Right. Right.
I have to say, there are so many things I could say about this, but I don't want to because I'll give it away. For people that haven't seen it, there's so much information in this.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
Not to mention the fact that there are some hilarious bits.
There's lots of clips, classic moments from Carson that we've included in the show. The special, the half-hour special, will be repeated New Year's Day at 4:30. Is that
4:30?
Is that what you said?
That is correct, sir. And you are correct, sir. You are correct,
hi-yo,
sir.
You are correct, sir.
Hey-o.
And then it's going to be on right before the first Johnny Carson rerun. Weeknights at 10 o'clock on Antenna TV. The special will be on Antenna TV at 9:30, leading into Carson. So, and if you don't know, Antenna TV, it's probably on your cable system. If it's not, contact your cable system and say, what's up with that? I'm paying good money for this, barely keep it on the air. At least you could do is put Antenna TV on. If your cable system doesn't have Antenna TV, it's also free over the air. Digital channel 9.2.
I get that with the rabbit ears.
Yeah, so, anybody can get that, so you can see it that way. You know who else is in this special? Our old pal Bill Zamy, who is a celebrity biographer. How about this for a resume? Writing books and interviewing Frank Sinatra, Hugh Hefner, writing a book about Andy Kaufman and Jay Leno and Regis Philbin. Very well-known, very prolific writer in Esquire and Playboy and Rolling Stone, has done extensive pieces on David Letterman and Tom Hanks and Howard Stern and Woody Allen, and the list goes on and on, and was the last person to interview Johnny Carson before his death, is working on a book that will be called Carson the Magnificent. It's Bill Zamy the Magnificent joining us on the telephone right now. Bill, are you there?
Hi-yo.
Hi-yo.
Dean, everything you need to know about Johnny Carson is in that special you've made, Here's Johnny.
Single possible thing that you could possibly want to know has been hermetically sealed in that special.
That's right. This is great. It's a primer. And I guess we need to be reminded a little bit of what the Carson routine was, because it was such a part of our fabric, and now all these other guys have come along and sort of changed what late night feels like. And I think it's going to be such a wonderful, change of pace to be able to go over to Johnny and just sort of relax and understand life the way it was.
Yeah,
much better than the way it is.
A completely different kind of talk show, you know, after putting this special together, which, by the way, I've just been notified. I've been giving the wrong time of when it will be repeated on WGN. The correct time that it will be shown on New Year's Day is 12:30 in the afternoon, 12:30 p.m. On New Year's Day, not what I said before. So apologize for the error on there. But, you know, just being able to see some of these old episodes and see Johnny in action, it is a completely different kind of talk show than the party games that we're used to seeing on late night TV now, don't you think?
It's amazing. People actually talked back then, Dean. It's crazy that the concept that they would talk on a talk show, right? But Johnny was just a great, Johnny was the barometer of American taste and culture. And whoever passed through those gates, those were the biggest stars in the world, or they would become the biggest stars, as we'll see. And what I love about the antenna, this is why this is extraordinary. Nobody has done this. Carson has never been seen in full context since he left the air. There have been all these various little clip shows, and if you send in for DVDs, well, now I think you get full shows if you'd like. If you were sending away for some, they have I think collections but this is great. This is great because this is going to feel exactly like what it was like to be, tuning into Johnny at the time. And it's not just Johnny was so much more than animal fun, animal hijinks. People think of Johnny Carson as the man who had animal hijinks. And this is just a tiny part of the guy.
That sounds wrong. Animal hijinks just sounds wrong. But yeah, you're right. There were more than just cute koala bears, sitting in his lap.
Oh, my God. This is the most, urbane man in America. We all wanted to be this guy growing up.
Well, as you point out, anyone who came out from behind those curtains, their life completely changed once they were on Johnny Carson. Is that because of the time, Bill, do you think that, the era, rather, where there were fewer stations, fewer things competing. Somebody was always seemed to be competing against Johnny Carson, but never successfully. He literally owned late night.
Yeah, they came and they went. Merv Griffin finally gave up and he just went into syndication and they started airing him in the early evenings. He was going head to head with Johnny for years. He was on CBS and Dick Cavett went up against him on ABC and he was terrific, but it just didn't last. It couldn't maintain. And Johnny just continued to roll over everyone all the way up through, through Nightline and to Ted Koppel, who you talked to, right?
Yeah, Ted is also on the special and kind of puts into perspective how Johnny, sort of guided the national conversation of, what the way, I guess, 24-hour news networks do now and kind of deciding what America is going to be talking about around the water cooler. Johnny sort of did that for us in whatever was on his monologue night.
Yeah, exactly right. His monologue was the most powerful tool in American politics at some point, and that evolved over the years. But when Johnny would talk about something, that became that was part of the national consciousness at that point. And if he hadn't touched on it, well, it hadn't become that big yet. So it would be, and then he would sort of sway the way people felt a little bit, about the politics, the presidents and what have you. But he told me he was never out to make fun of presidents. He didn't want a president ever to look foolish necessarily, and I think they probably taken that to new lengths in the years of George W. and onward, teasing these guys after, Johnny left. But, I remember him very, very specifically said the guy was a great American, great Midwestern American, and he really, he knew how to give zingers like nobody's business, and he performed at inaugurations. He was at LBJ's inauguration. People forget Johnny Carson was on the job about 2.5 weeks before the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred, right. And this was such a panic in America when that happened.
Right.
Can you imagine? And he was preempted for a few days, but you know, it was during that time that America was living under the threat of possibly being blown to bits at any given moment. It was a very, very dicey time. And so here he begins his tenure sort of guiding us through, you know, American nightmares. We had so many, and our long national nightmares. And he would be the guy who would put us to sleep at night. So he would be the guy who would have to kind of put a nice little, spin on our day and remind us of how life was progressing along and how we could all. Well, anyway, if not for Johnny, we would all have been waking up screaming.
Well, I mean, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and then shortly after that, President Kennedy's assassination, and then the nightmare that was Vietnam. I mean, Johnny, you know, those were the years that Johnny was developing, this amazing thing at night, where we went for comfort at night. You know, we went for some laughs at night, whatever personally was happening in our hard day or in the news. There was, you know, somebody, an elderly lady with a potato chip collection, or, you know, Bob Hope coming out, or George Gobel, or, you know, if you got lucky, Rickles, was on, and you knew all hell was going to break loose if Rickles was there.
I remember, you know, being excited at school the days after Rickles had been on, you know, the night before, because this is what we would talk about. I mean, really, in high school, in college, this is reflective of the group I hung with. I'm not sure, Dean, but I will tell you, we talked about show business. I don't know, out in the south suburbs of Chicago, it was all about, it was like the Friars Club for us. We just wanted to listen and figure out how it all happened and who is going to pop in tonight, you know. But there are some guests that will be terrific. You know, it'll be great to see these guests, again, in the full context. You know, on your special, which is tremendous, I will tell you that there's this amazing night, now that we're at the holiday season, we should mention Doc Severinsen's famous night where he talks about Thanksgiving and having no place to go, and Johnny invites him on the air to come over, and he basically, you know, well, what am I going to say? The boss has invited me, but they go back and forth, talking about how his marriages have fallen apart and how there's stuff. And it's just this amazing long, and right. In context, we've never seen it run all the way through, and that's what you're going to be showing us.
Right.
And we'll see that when it airs again. I suspect that'll be airing around Thanksgiving.
I would imagine right before Thanksgiving of next year. Let me take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about favorite moments, the guests. I'm so curious to find out what that was like for you. I mean, even though you had spent time with Sinatra and Hugh Hefner and, I mean, some of the biggest names in the world, to get to spend some personal time with Johnny Carson for the book that you're working on, Carson the Magnificent, must have been amazing. Bill Zamy's on the phone line with us, celebrity biographer, author. Bill Zamy on the line with us today, getting ready for the big Johnny Carson debut on our sister station, Antenna TV. Full episodes of Johnny Carson will begin Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Somebody on our text line asking about what's going to happen on Saturday and Sunday. That's when we're going to be running the 90-minute shows. Bill, explain how this worked, because Carson was a 90-minute show, and then was it like around 1980 or so? Got trimmed back to 60 minutes at Johnny's request?
The strange thing is Johnny was always on the verge of leaving. It was like, oh, geez, contract negotiations were coming up. But it would always be a big deal. There were a couple times in 1979 was a big, big moment where it looked like Carson was going to leave. He had had enough. He wanted to just retire. He wanted to just go make TV specials. So and part of his negotiation was to shorten the Tonight Show, which when he began was an hour and 45 minutes in length, you know. And at some point, what's interesting about that, it's like the history of American media, if you follow this carefully, because his show was an hour and 45 minutes in length. And that first 15 minutes he would come out, that was the monologue. And within a few years, more and more local stations around the nation decided to run their newscasts at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, meaning in the Midwest. But it would be a half-hour newscast, and they would preempt. It would be a 15-minute newscast and then the Tonight Show. Well, at some point, they were making enough money locally, for these all the news stations that were leading into Carson were doing so well that they wanted to make the most of their biggest thing for their buck, and they would run Johnny. They would cut into that first 15 minutes and eliminate the monologue. And Carson, after a couple of years, would not do the monologue anymore. He wouldn't come out. And it was a big standoff. He had what they called the 15-minute virus every night. He wouldn't go on the air until and this was rectified in about 65. And then the Tonight Show would begin with his monologue. But can you imagine his monologue being cut out of your watching the Tonight Show?
That's amazing.
Now, the thing is, we should also point out, because I think this is fair to point out to people, Antenna cannot contractually call this the Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, even though that's exactly what it is. It has to be called Johnny Carson because, and by the way, everybody used to call it the Johnny Carson Show or the Carson Show anyway.
Right,
really,
because NBC still owns the name, the Tonight Show.
Exactly. We're not hearing that. That's why you're referring to it constantly as the Johnny Carson Show, because that in fact is what it is being renamed, which is much better, by the way, than Carson's Comedy Classics, which is the only other way Johnny was seen in the aftermath. They made a very kind of weird half hour show of just the best,
the
sketches.
The vignettes and things. Yeah.
Yeah, and that really didn't do well. And by the way, they started airing that while Johnny was still on the air, and it didn't have any sort of kick. Nobody really cared. And so that, it was sort of unfair. They rolled it out again after a couple times after he's, left the air. And it's just not Carson. I've always felt, well, that's one part of what he did, but he did so many things, and not least of which was just, he was America's parent. He kind of put us to bed at night, like I said.
Yeah, our parent, but also, it was the barometer of what we were going to be talking about the next day. It was a barometer of how we would act and dress, how, what kind of clothing we would wear, what kind of music we would like. It was so many things, we didn't even realize how much the show influenced us back in the day.
Did you have any Johnny Carson wardrobe? Johnny had put Tart Shafter and Marks out of Chicago. He had his own line of clothing.
Right.
So we were the Johnny Carson collection. It was a big deal, Some of the finest polyester I've ever worn.
I think I may still have a rash from some of that polyester. Or it may have been the period when I tried dressing like Doc Severinsen. That didn't go over too well back in the day at CBS.
Yeah, don't try that at home, right?
Exactly. Bill Zamy's on the line. I need to take another break. Are you okay to hang in for?
I love this.
I appreciate you joining us. The great Bill Zamy is with us. Somebody on the old text line, Bill, also asking about what's the deal with the book? When's the book coming out? I'll give you a little time to come up with an answer for that.
I'll make something up while you're off doing business.
Please do. Truth is preferred, but not necessary. Bill Zamy on the line with us. We'll talk more about Johnny and his return to the airwaves on Antenna TV starting January the 1st. You can see my half-hour special on WGN-TV New Year's Day at 12:30 p.m. And then just before the first Carson episode on Antenna TV, it'll be on at 9:30 p.m. on New Year's night, January 1st, just ahead of a New Year's Day episode from 1982 featuring Eddie Murphy and MASH star McLean Stevenson. How about that for some memories? That's all coming up. We'll talk more about it next on WGN.
What an evening. Mike, it's so good to see you. I didn't know you were still on.
Yeah.
Gee, I haven't been on in so long, but I know how you sit with Fred and pick and choose and so forth. Hi, Dad.
Anyway,
congratulations on the baby, really. It's a wonderful household he's got. Really, the kids are happy, everybody's happy. Yeah. I understand the baby left. baby watched Dead by the Bar and go, give me a triple.
Classic visit from Don Rickles on Johnny Carson. That's from 1986. There will be many moments like that as Johnny Carson returns to the airwaves. On Antenna TV, our classic TV network, beginning this coming Friday, January 1st, 10 p.m. You'll be able to watch that. We've got a half an hour special of some magic moments with Johnny Carson. Went back to Carson's old studio in Burbank, talked with people like Doc Severinsen and Jay Leno and Bob Newhart and Louis Anderson. Joan Embry, who used to bring the animals on the show. We went to her ranch in San Diego and talked with her and her memories about Johnny Carson, all part of this half-an-hour special. Here's Johnny that'll be on WGN-TV New Year's Day at 12:30 in the afternoon, and then just before the first Carson episode at 9:30 p.m. on Antenna TV this coming Friday, January the 1st. So Bill Zamy's on the phone line, who is the last person to interview Johnny Carson for the book Carson the Magnificent. How did all of this come to be, Bill, that Carson, famously reclusive, famously private, decided to let you into his secret world?
It was it was based on a lot of attempts that had preceded this to get him. When he retired in '92, he really did he took a powder. We didn't see him anywhere. He showed up briefly in about the first year or so. You know, he popped up on the Letterman show a couple times, famously for the last time when he came out and said nothing, stood behind the desk and left. You know, and actually the story behind that is Johnny had laryngitis at the time. And so people was like, oh, I wish he would have said something. It's like he couldn't say anything if he wanted to. He came out and then he left. But that was the last time he was on TV. He did a Bob Hope special in that time period, too. That was the last time he stood up and did a monologue. But by and large, there was nothing. And so where did Carson go? And years were passing. And finally, it was going to be 10 years. It was going to be, 2002. And incidentally, you know, let's not forget 9/11 happens right in there, too, right in 2001. So in the months after 9/11, I was reaching out to him. And I just, with the instinct that this is the guy who kind of calmed us all down. And we all saw how, Letterman came back first. And Letterman was really the only true successor of Carson. And we don't have one now, you know. Although they all fight to this day over Don Rickles. Because just to have Don Rickles on their show, it's like being the next Carson. So they're, you know, all the boys, all the Jimmys and such, they all revere Rickles as the last man standing. But anyway, I reached out to Johnny and said, you know, it's only going to be 10 years once that you've been gone, and we've gone through a lot here, and you kind of got us through a lot of other things, not least of which, within his first year and a half, the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
You know, so this, again, your president is murdered. And imagine that. Just wrap your brain around that again, just in concept. And then think about how you move on. And so he, you know, and I talked to him about that. What he did say, he agreed, you know, he said, here's the thing. Carson was so private, rather than ask him for an interview at this point, 10 years on, I said, look, can I at least, you know, because I've been writing about Letterman and Leno for years, and I knew all about, you know, late night was kind of my, I may know two things really well, maybe three, which is Hugh Hefner and his homes, Johnny Carson's, Frank Sinatra in general, and then late night TV, because I just know way too much about late night TV. And I theorize it's because I grew up in the Midwest, and so we were up, we got him an hour earlier here, you know,
right.
That was always sort of a big deal for
Didn't
us.
Didn't have to stay up as late, right.
Yeah, so I said, look, I'm going to reach out to a lot of the people. You know, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just reach out to people and just tell people how you're doing and just kind of do a portrait, a profile of you maybe in absentia. And I wrote him, he was a very careful letter, and he called me. You know, I always remember that. That call was amazing because at that point I was in deep cahoots with his assistant, Helen, and his nephew, Jeff Sotsing, who is on your special. You'll see he runs basically the empire at this point.
Carson Entertainment Group is what it's called. Yeah,
exactly. And she called me shortly after I sent that thing, and she said, "Bill, I have Mr. Carson on the phone for you. Would you like to speak with him?"
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. And then, of course, your entire body goes electric. Like, well, what am I going to say? Now, I had met him before. I had met him in his office at one point. I'd come by to visit you know, Kusatzing or whomever. And at that point, in the first 10 years after his retirement, he kept an office in Santa Monica, California. And after that, he closed that down, and he basically operated from his boat until he passed on. He only lived a couple more years after they closed that office. But he called me up. And he basically said, you know, I don't give a damn what anybody says about me. Talk to anybody. I don't care. It's fine with me, you know. And he said, well, if you're going to be out here talking to people, you want to have lunch? It's again, no. And at that point, so I began, you know, and when I made an entire trip to, you know, just go have lunch with Johnny. Oh, and it got canceled at one point, so I had to come back. So it was really an interesting, you know, it was high stakes poker because I had to get this accomplished. It was like America needed this guy, and I was writing for Esquire at the time. So when the piece did occur, it was an Esquire profile called "A Man Who Retired," and it was really a story about where he went, what happened in those 10 years, where he was hiding, what his life as a hermit was like, life as a civilian, incidentally. And Johnny was such a happy civilian. You know, he talked to people every damn night of our lives.
Right.
You know, and so when he went into retirement, you know, it was okay to be quiet for a while. And then he sort of took on the role of, you know, he became the potato chip lady in the sense that he was a civilian. He was just an American civilian, and he loved it. And he became a far more – Johnny for years had been such a, you know, very reclusive, extremely reclusive in the sense that, I mean, even with his own friends, you know. And in this time period, he wanted to have lunch with people who had worked with him, and he loved getting to know what their lives were like. And they all feared him while they were working for him. They had no idea, who is this guy asking me about my life? And it was just a sort of a wonderful, you know, he just became a very, very thoughtful and important character in our American firmament in the background. And then, but he was itching to tell jokes. He hated. Letterman must be going through this now. But it's like, you know, you've got something you want to say. There's nowhere to say it. So at some point, he started writing jokes for Dave. And that was, he would fax them in. This is all back in the, you know, all the way up until the time he died, as a matter of fact. And Dave, in fact, when Johnny passed, he did an entire monologue of Carson jokes that Johnny had set in just as a tribute to him. But anyway, to sit with him was like sitting with Mount Rushmore, you know. It's just sort of awe-inspiring, and you have to kind of keep pinching. There are really few people like that. Sinatra's the other one. And
I can imagine, you know,
because these are like, these aren't just people. This is like, holy moly. Letterman always said, it's like talking to the guy on the $5 bill.
You know? These are bigger than life people, no question. So what, you know, everyone on our text line is asking is what's happening with the book, your book?
Carson the Magnificent.
Carson the Magnificent.
Exactly. Simon & Schuster is very, very patiently been putting up with what has been a long road to hoe. I haven't really talked much about it, but in the last couple of years I had some health problems, and that threw me off the game a bit. But I am roaring back, just as Johnny is roaring back out of the air. So I believe we'll get this thing out in the next year or so. You know, it's just a massive – it's got to be done right, you know, but it also – we got to get it out there because people – you know, I don't want to lose his entire audience before I finish this book, you know, we've all passed along.
Yeah, I mean, there's such, you know, such fondness and such interest in Carson. I mean, the timing definitely is still there. It's great that Antenna TV is coming along and, you know, redoing these shows to keep the interest out there again. But, national surveys are done and they ask, you know, people, you know, who's your favorite host of late night TV? Johnny Carson still wins the race, even though he's been off the air since 1992.
And on the and dead, which is really an accomplishment. You know?
Right, exactly.
He's doing great. I mean, but can you imagine? Jeez. But he, you know, I should have pointed out, you know, so on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, they'll be airing 90-minute Tonight shows, which are mostly from the 70s. Johnny's work from the 60s has almost been entirely a race. You know, that's another subject all its own. It broke his heart. He discovered in 1972, after he'd been on the air for 10 years, that most of his work had been just destroyed. And so at that point, he began making sure that these shows were harnessed for, you know, for posterity. And at that point onward, we have from 72 onward, we'll be seeing those shows on the weekends. And Johnny with 90 Minutes was always my favorite Johnny, because he had a little bit more time to play with. And if he decided to go off on a tangent and just kind of what he would call, oh, we're kind of giddy tonight or something. And they would just, he and Ed would go back and forth, and to the point where Johnny wouldn't even throw it to a commercial. And you'd hear the producer, Freddie DeCordova, off at the side begging Johnny to go to the commercial. And Johnny wouldn't go to the, and I always thought that those were the greatest moments, because here's Carson, basically the most powerful man on television, saying, we're not going to the commercial yet. I'm still talking here, you know.
And I want to do what going. I want to do, right. Yeah, exactly.
And it was thrilling. Boy, I would get the chills when that happened as a kid.
You know what, I thought, look
at this guy.
With my pal Bill Zemme on the line with us, celebrity biographer, author, last person to talk to Johnny Carson. And I have to thank Bill. We've been talking about this half-hour special that I did, that we did at WGN-TV. That will be on repeated on New Year's Day at 12:30, again on Antenna TV at 9:30, and then full episodes of Carson begin at 10 p.m. on Antenna TV. But this half-hour special, failed to mention, you're also part of this program. You have been such a tremendous help to me in digging up some of these resources and topics to cover, and I can't thank you enough for all the help that, plus I've enjoyed that we've had so many dinners at Greek restaurants, talking over all this stuff as well.
Hey, there's no better place to talk about Carson than a Greek restaurant, I feel. it's been terrific. I think this special is just wonderful, and I think it's going to just, people are just going to get so excited. The more you see it, the more. And I recommend repeated viewing, Dean. I don't know if people are going to, I think they should record it and watch it several times, or watch it whenever it airs.
I've been watching, many of these episodes as we've been putting this special together, and going back and seeing things, as we've said, have not been on the air since their original broadcast. It's really cool to see. For just as an example, a young John Travolta coming on before, his superstardom, coming on, and talking, Johnny being so, courteous and polite and inquisitive, talking to this guy. I mean, there are the Don Rickles moments, but to see some of these young people making their very first appearances on the show who have become superstars, it's fascinating to watch it, in 2015 now.
Oh, it's amazing. And they all, believe me, they're all incredibly nervous because it's the first time with him, and that's really a big deal. When you see them all sort of there, you'll see the biggest stars in the world, today, all of them cowed by the man they're talking to. And this is just to give you an idea of the power of Carson. He was bigger than any movie star. In fact, there's a wonderful encyclopedia film. It's written by a British scholar named, a film scholar named David Thompson. It's all about, it's an encyclopedia of anybody, biographical, of anybody who's ever had anything to do with movies. Carson has a listing, and it's longer than most of the stars, and that's because he maintained he was Cary Grant. He was our Cary Grant.
Very true, very true. In addition to Carson on TV, on Antenna TV, there is a special exhibit that will be opening at the Museum of Broadcast Communication on January the 12th, and that is when a very special night will take place there, sort of a roundtable talking about Johnny Carson that one Mr. Bill Zemme will be moderating with one Mr. Doc Severinsen, who will be appearing there live, and Sean Compton, who is the executive in our Tribune Media Company who made all of this happen. Jeff Sotzing, who you referred to, Johnny's nephew, who is the president of Carson Entertainment. Who else is on that panel? I'm not remembering everybody right now.
I believe they're letting Tom Dreesen play along.
That's right.
Tom Dreesen knows that he can clock what happened in the inside the neurons and nervous system every comedian who ever appeared on that show. He has a great way of talking about it. So it'll be. And he was on. He'll tell you how many times. I forget, but he knows.
If you beg Tom Dreesen, he'll tell you how he once worked with Frank Sinatra.
What? No. Huh? Yeah. No, he was a he helped me enormously with The Way You Wear Your Hat, the book I wrote about Sinatra. He was because he spent a lot of time with Frank, and he will tell you about it. Right. Gene, I don't know.
If you bag him, only if you bag him, he will. That's going to be on January the 12th, and I can't wait for that. That's going to be a cool night. And plus this exhibit of some Johnny memorabilia props and things like that are all going to be there as well.
Carson fan will geek out, I promise you.
Exactly
that.
Right. You can go to museum.tv and get information about that. And I can't thank you enough, Bill, for all the help that you've given us on the news stories and the special and everything that we've done. And I'm happy that you're doing better with your health, that you're on the road to being mended and back and working on that book again. It's just great to hear your voice and with all the enthusiasm that you've always brought. So it's great to talk to you again.
And no better place to be than with you, pal.
Well, likewise. Feeling is 100% mutual. And we will, again, remind everybody, because we barely have on TV or radio, that full episodes of Carson begin January 1st, 10 p.m. Our thanks to Bill Zamy for joining us. Have a great day, bud. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, my friend. Hi-oh.
Hi-oh.